This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted to welcome to the Radio Cafe, Patty Brenach. He is director of the film Viva, which opens tonight at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So this is a wonderful film. I loved it. It made me cry. It made me laugh. It was really a delight to watch. It is filmed in Havana with Cuban actors, but an Irish writer and director, you the director, how did this project come about?
Well, it came about really that I was on holidays and I found this world in Cuba that I had never seen before, and it impressed me so much that I couldn't let go of it and started thinking about some ideas, and then approached a very good Irish writer, Mark O'Halloran, and we came up with this story. And then when you get an idea and there's a sort of passion or commitment to it, it's very hard to shake it off. And the idea was formed there, but also it would be hard, I think, to make it anywhere else, because Cuba is a certain, you know, it's a very peculiar country, and it's a country that's been on the verge of change for so long, and that's a big part of what the film is. It's about, it's a film about transformation. It's the very few places that have that sense of being on the verge of change and about to change over such a long period, you know?
Yeah. The story is about a young gay man in Havana named Jesus, who is peripherally in a community of drag artist performers, men who dress and sing or lip sync as women. And the story goes on from there. But are the actors actual performers from that world?
There's a mix. Some of the performers, some of the people in the film, some of the actors in the film, are very well-known Cuban actors. Some of them were discoveries, new talent. And then some of them come from the world of drag artists and performers. So there was a mix of different people. And in a way, that mix was something I think I originally was going to cast more people from the world of drag artists. And then I just had a couple of great auditions from Hector Medina, who plays the lead, Jesus, and also Luis Alberto Garcia, who plays Mama, who's one of the drag performers. And they just brought a certain extra dimension to it that I think if I had a cast just performers, drag artists, I think I would have lost that. But having said that, I think it was a great mix to have real performers in there as well, because they both lend something to each other. The actors sort of brought up a certain emotional tone that the other performers sort of bought into. But the drag performers bring an authenticity and a credibility, and they ground everyone's performance into the world. So the mix of both, I think I was very happy with in the end.
Yeah. The lead, Jesus, is played by, as you say, wonderful actor Hector Medina. And when I saw him, I'm so glad you cast him. He's so compelling, has so much presence, and that kind of quiet and thoughtful role that he plays. At the beginning, I'm just ready for it to be a love story. And then his long-lost father comes home from prison. He's a former boxer. He's a kind of abusive. He's drunk. And he comes to see this act in the, I won't give away too much, but he comes to see this drag act and does not behave well, and then moves into his son's apartment, much to his son's horror. And in a funny way, it kind of does end up being a love story, and it sort of defies expectations, and that was a beautiful piece of the film. I mean, that was the film.
I think it's something about Jesus's character. In the start of the film, he's kind of meek and has many aspects of him that people might regard as weak, but through the pressure of this relationship, this fraught relationship with his father, we discover that weakness has a strength. And what is often seen, particularly in masculinity, is a kind of weakness. Jesus is able to translate that and turn that into a strength, and to win over his father through those qualities. So, and for Hector Medina to play that, initially there's a sort of passivity in the character, and that's very hard for an actor to take that as the base, but yet still draw an audience in with them and make them interested in them. And I think he's such a fantastic actor to be able to pull that off, you know?
Yeah, very much so. And I was really struck by the very different aesthetic between the men who were presenting as women and the men like Jesus who were presenting as a gay man, which is a very different kind of, I mean, people use the word effeminate and the word effeminate is used in the film, but there's a kind of real androgynous masculinity to it that I found so both powerful and beautiful and really well played by that character, by that actor.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, I mean, in the world of the clubs, there's also such a range of stories and people that it isn't, you know, there's a lot of nuances within that community as well of how their masculinity presents itself in that world and presents itself in relation to femininity. Some live as women, some live as men and perform as women. You know, so there's such a, you know, there's a huge range there. And then Jesus is, I suppose, to some extent in that world, is trying to find not only what he's going to be like as a performer, but he's finding his voice in life. You know, he's finding a voice where he can be truly himself and be proactive as himself in a way that's true to something in himself as well. So it's a good place, and I suppose it's a place of flux and change, and where definitions of things are emerging that he has to find that his voice, as it were, you know. And that's mirrored as well, I suppose, as I was saying, in Cuba, in that it's a place that is kind of always about to change. The question of things being set and being firm isn't quite there. Things are evolving.
Yeah, which they are everywhere, but it's very evident to outsiders in Cuba because the visuals of Cuba seem to be from another era. And they're quote-unquote behind in some ways technologically, but emotionally, I don't know that they're behind everybody else. There may be a whole different set of evolutions that are not as evident to outsiders. Do you know what I mean?
I do, yeah. It's a very peculiar place. And again, that's one of the reasons it's a great place to make a film in. Because I don't know if I know of any place, other place that has the sort of physical poverty and economic poverty, but at the same time with it, a real sense of civilization and a real sense of solidarity. So it's got this weird mixture of sophistication and decay and poverty side by side in a way that I don't think you get in many countries. So in other, like, poorer countries, you just don't get that sense of pervasive civilization, you know, of culture, of people who, you know, so for example, a kid who's a member of a boxing club there in some very blue-collar neighborhood may also be an aspiring ballet dancer. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like, you know, the access to culture and access to sort of a sense of civilization is there in a way that it isn't in many places. But, and it's also there side by side with physical poverty and decay. And that's a really odd and quite at times exhilarating mixture. It's also a place where it's so full of life. When you're on the street there, you just feel this place is buzzing and teeming with life. And you get that. Just as you're walking along, and my memory of the place is always this place that's so full of life. So it's a wonderful place to set a story in, because everything is emerging and ebullient and, I suppose, becoming all the time. There's a sense of it becoming. And that's something, for particularly with this story, where it's about finding voice and transformation. It was great to have that as our basis, you know?
Tell us a little bit about what the Cuban film industry is like and what the challenges were for you making a film in Cuba and what the benefits were of making a film there.
It's a really mixed set of things, actually. You know, in terms of the challenges for us, you know, initially there's a certain amount of bureaucracy that you have to go through to get permission to film there. But once we went through that, and it wasn't overly rigorous, but once we went through that, it was fairly straightforward. I mean, there's you know, they have a certain amount of facilities there and there's equipment that you can hire there, but it isn't a huge range of stuff. Like, and also you can't, like, and particularly say, for example, in this film where, you know, we were dealing with drag performers and the, you know, you can't just walk down the road and sort of buy size 11 women's shoes, you know what I mean? It's, you know, the backups or the sort of convenience, let's say, that you would have here, if we need to go out and buy a wig, you just buy it down the road. Whereas there, you know, we would ring home to Ireland, and if somebody was coming out, we'd say, look, can you pack an extra couple of these wigs and bring this makeup out and bring this, you know, because things aren't easily available. There's, again, people are sophisticated. So even sometimes when some of the skills bases weren't, you know, there wasn't necessarily tons and tons of experience, there was also a sense of enthusiasm and sophistication and eagerness to learn. And that was a great quality from the Cuban crews. You know, they were open to engage, and there was no sense of kind of weariness or no sense of who are these guys coming in to make this film amongst us, right? Like that. It was the reverse. They were very welcoming and interested and engaged, which made for a real collaboration. I mean, that's right across from actors to, you know, props people and everybody. It was very, very good in that sense. I mean, in the wider sense of their film industry, I mean, I can't speak too much about that because I feel I'm not a, you know, I'm not an expert in it. But what I would say is that there's a talent base maybe that hasn't fully shown itself. And the acting standards are very high, and the acting training is very high. I think possibly there's some good, really good directors. I feel maybe sometimes there isn't the same, you know, maybe in some of the scripts. I'm wondering whether that's an area that they might need to develop a bit more in. But there's also a huge literacy. You know, like we say, for example, we know very little about their films. They know everything about our films. You know, right. They may not be officially released, but, you know, everybody gets everything. They have a thing called the paqueta, which every week it's like, you know, a memory stick, and you hire it, and it contains 2 or 3 gigabytes of downloads and movies and TV shows, all sort of pirated and illegal. But it means everybody's watching everything, you know?
Right, right. The film brings up the question of how much homophobia and transphobia and so on there is in Cuba at this point. And you talk about Cuba being on the verge of change. How is that changing?
Well, I think that in terms of that, you know, officially, in terms of the state's view of it, because the state at various stages was very, you know, is definitely homophobic and was sort of regarded gay people as being in some way anti-revolutionary almost, you know what I mean? That was mm-hmm. not almost, I think they stated that as policy. Or whatever. And there's, you know, some very well-documented incidences. But I think, I'm not sure exactly the date, but maybe as far as, you know, 5-10 years ago, that policy began to change. And I think Fidel Castro was on record as apologizing for the treatment, you know, the state's treatment of gays, because there was a sense that it was now regarded as being, it wasn't socialist to have done what they did. And Mariela Castro, who's Raul Castro's daughter and is involved in the government as well, she has led a sort of big campaign. I think, like, she's an academic involved in gender studies, and she's led a big campaign to change a sort of official policy. So that's changed a lot. And over my time of researching the thing, the drag clubs and the whole that scene has become far more open and accessible. It used to be very clandestine. On the ground, I think things used to be very hard, and I sort of feel that it's definitely not as hard as it used to be. But I'd be reluctant to say everything is rosy in the garden, because, you know, cultures don't change very rapidly, and, you know, it's a macho place. I know Havana. I don't know the other cities as well. So I couldn't say that, but I think definitely there's been a movement in the right direction. How far that's gone and whether it's continuing to go there, I couldn't say.
Patty Brannock is director of the film Viva, which opens today and screens several times today and in the coming days at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts here in Santa Fe. The film is written by Mark O'Halloran, who has a small role in the film. And it's just a wonderful film. I want to thank you so much, Patty, for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Yeah, thanks a million. And I hope anybody who goes to see it enjoys it.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.